So did we see something last week about all, when we were discussing the whole thing there's no generational curses that are applying to you. Because it's important for us to recognize the freedom that we have, the freedom that has been given to us from all those kind of things. And for us to quit accusing God of doing things that he wasn't responsible for. Now, does that mean that there's nothing that happens in your family? No, I know there are obviously things that happen in our family lines. It just doesn't happen to be God who's the cause of it. And so if we'll recognize that, that puts us on the right side of the fence, and that allows us to actually do something about it and actually come against it. So I just sensed, by the time we got through with those prayers as a collective body, I sensed just a tremendous freedom that was released over the people. And I think that freedom carried into even to the next service. It was just remarkable to see what God does when we begin to align ourselves with His truth. See, when we begin to do those things, He's aligning us because it's His desire to align us, because it's His desire to bring us into a relationship of truth, to bring us into a relationship where we actually bear the resemblance and the image of Christ Himself. So we've been looking at, and out of Ephesians 1, where we were asking Him just to open the eyes of our heart. Remember Ephesians 1, 17, 18, 19, it says to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Just say it with me. Lord, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open the eyes of my understanding so that I may know the hope of my calling. He goes on. For the riches, so that we would understand the riches of the inheritance in the saints. His inheritance in you. His Christ in you. That we would understand the richness of that, the glory of that, the wonder of that. And that we would understand the power, the dunamis, the authority that He is releasing to those who will believe Him. Because as we understand those things, then that one simple prayer has already positioned you to release something. It's positioned you to be able to carry an image out to the world. And that's what I wanted to speak about today, was just that you have a voice. You have a voice. There's so many times that in our lives, especially maybe when you're young, maybe you were told you didn't have a voice. But I'm here to ascertain for you and to assure you, you have a voice. There's been something assigned to you by God. There's been a mission assigned to you by God. And out of that, He's given you a voice to address those things. So let's just take a look here and see kind of what we got going on. Because remember, we're not limited by what is. Just like we showed you in the all the DIY shows that they have, they're not limited by what's already there. Sometimes by the time they get through taking away what they don't want, there's nothing left but a shell. But when we're not limited by that, that means you can do a complete makeover into who God has called you to be. You're not limited by the past. You're not limited by old failures. You're not limited even by your present level of thinking. You're not limited to anything except that your ability to believe Him and follow after it. Your ability to make an investment in Him and in His truth. Hallelujah. So let's look at one voice that we can recognize. Let's go to Moses. So let's look in Exodus. See, Exodus 3 begins to relay the story of what happened to Moses. It relays the story of an encounter that he had with an awesome God. Now, you have to think about this from the standpoint of Moses and who he was and what he was. Moses had been plucked out of the water and become, and because he was plucked out of the water, even though he was a Hebrew child, he became part of the royal family. And as a part of the royal family, he enjoyed a lot of things that would have applied to that. In that day and time, that was probably the greatest place you could be on earth, to be part of that royal family. And yet, something stirred in his heart, and he recognized that that was not fulfilling, and he recognized that God had called him as a deliverer, and as a result, he got himself in trouble by murdering somebody, because he thought he was supposed to be the deliverer out of his own flesh. And so, out of his own flesh, God him sent into the desert. And for 40 years, he's wandering around in the desert, he's tending the sheep, and he's contemplating his life, I'm sure. You don't spend 40 years out there wandering around without contemplating a little bit of life. And as a result of his contemplating a little bit of his life, finally he got into a position where God comes and he shows up in this burning bush and he begins to speak to him. And as he begins to speak, he begins to relay a message. And his message is, I've called you to be the deliverer. I've heard my people. I've heard their cry. I've heard the outcry and I've heard of their pain. And I want to do something about it. But Moses, I'm calling you to be the one who comes and takes them out. I'm calling you to be the one who's the deliverer. And Moses is probably thinking, you know what? I tried that before. I'm just not doing it. I've been out here for 40 years because of the last time I tried that. And see, the Lord is beginning to speak into him. But think about it. If what was you? What if it was you? Almighty God is sitting here talking to you. But what else is talking to Moses? 40 years of history. He's 80 years old now. 40 years of being in the desert. 40 years before that of seeing how cruel the whole system could be. And I'm sure there was a lot of self-talk going on and saying, I got the wrong guy. I'm not prepared. I only have 40 years. I need 42. Yeah, exactly. I walked up to the wrong bush. And this is exactly what is going on with that bush anyway. But think about it. What if it's you? What's your self-talk saying in that moment? You have the God of all creation saying, this is what I've called you to be. And you have 80 years of history telling you something different. How does that feel? Because see, what we begin to perceive in those moments of our encounter with God, okay, is oftentimes determined by what our history has been. Not by who God is, but by what our own history has been. Think about this. When you see the face of God, okay, in Numbers 6, I'm going to just flip over there for just a second. The Aaronic blessing basically is calling for you to be visited by the face of God. Okay? May the Lord bless you and keep you and make the sun rise up. And I don't recall it all right here. So I'm going to say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. See, that's out of Numbers 6, verses 24 through 27. But the Aaronic blessing, it says, may his countenance rise up. In other words, he's going to look to you. When he looks at you, what do you see? What do you see? What rises up in you in that moment of that encounter? Because, see, there was a lot of things rising up in Moses in that moment of encounter. But what happens in that moment of encounter a lot of times is determined more by what we've been, where we've been, than where we're going. If all you've known is a cruel a father, one who's likely to strike out at you and inflict pain upon you, then that moment of encounter with him is probably something you're trying to get away from. But if you've known a warm and loving father, a father who looks to draw you to yourself, then that moment of encounter becomes something that's totally and completely fulfilling. So we have to operate out of what the moment is intended to be, not necessarily what the moment has been in the past, when we come face to face with God. Because when we come face to face with him, it's something where he wants to show you who he is. But if we're busy interpreting it through the past, we forget and we may shy away from that. So this is the place where Moses is at. His past has shown him some things about himself, and he's placed some limitations that God is not placing on him. How many of us, I won't ask you to raise your hand, have placed limitations on ourselves? Okay, I'll raise my hand. You don't have to raise yours. That God didn't create for you. Because, see, that happens a lot. We place limitations on ourselves that God is already, you know, in his mind, you're already free from it. So here's part of chapter 4 of Exodus, verse 1. It says right here, you get an idea where Moses' thoughts are. As Moses answered and said, "What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" What we got? We got a little doubt going on here. We got, you know, I'm encountering you, and you know, this seems to be pretty real for me, but how do I convince somebody else? You know, sometimes it's not your word, it's just going to convince them. It's what you're carrying with you. It's what comes with the package. Sometimes if we get so involved in trying to convey something with our words, we forget that the main part of our message actually comes from how we're carrying ourselves. Hallelujah. Okay. So we come down to the place of verse 10, and it says, "And Moses said to the Lord, 'Please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past.'" Remember what we were just saying? Where was his thoughts coming from? "Nor in time past, nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant." How long has that been? Well, since they're still in the encounter, it was probably only a matter of minutes. Okay? Since the Lord has spoken to his servant. So, yeah, we're in Exodus 4:10. "So neither now, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Remember the limitations. See, he's placing these limitations on himself. He's placing these limitations on himself as if the Lord didn't know who he was calling. When the Lord called you, did he know who you were? Does he know what you're capable of? Does he know what's in you? Does he know what your past was? Does he know everything that you've ever done? And that's it. That's it. Yes. Not just where we've been, but where we're going. He already knows it. He already sees it. And he's already accounting for it. "And the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him dumb or deaf and seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say.'" I tell you what, Moses got guts. He's just arguing with him. Okay? Not everybody's going to stand in front of the creator of all heaven and earth and say, no. I know you have a mission here, but I'm not accepting it. Send somebody else. Because basically what he says is, you know, I can't do this. Send Aaron. And finally, the Lord allows for Aaron to go with him in order to give him the confidence that he needs to get the message done. But let's think about the voice that Moses was given. Let's think about the voice, because those events were 3,500 years ago. And 3,500 years ago, God gave him a voice and began doing things and speaking things in him and through him that have changed the entire course of the world. He began to set up the Jewish law, which also became, by coincidence, the foundation of Christianity, by coincidence, the foundation of this country. Our laws are based on the things, on the voice that Moses had. The very nature of America is based in the voice that Moses had. The very nature of what Christianity was going to become was based in what the voice of Moses was. 3,500 years of history of man has been altered by what God began to speak and say in one person. We have all been affected by the voice. But guess what? God has given each one of you a voice. God has given each one of you the same effectiveness, the same power and reach, depending upon where you and what we choose to do with it. Actually, today, it is possible for your voice to reach more people quicker than what happened for him. In the electronic age, it is now possible for one person to utter something and seconds later for the entire world to be able to hear it. People right now are hearing my voice within 30 seconds of us saying it right here, all over the world. Right now. All over the world, people can hear and participate with what's being spoken here. God has given you a voice. He may give you a voice. He may give you a voice to be in a pulpit, but He may also give you a voice where you work or where you go, everywhere that you are, and wherever you shop, whatever you have going on in your life, He may give you a voice in that space. Because all of us have a certain sphere of influence in our life, and God is looking to not only affect that sphere of influence, but to increase that sphere of influence. And it comes when we align ourselves with His purpose. See, faith has a voice. Faith has a voice. And it's yours. It's yours. When you begin to aligning yourself with faith, see, faith is first going to be a choice, which becomes an action, which results in a voice. Because faith, when it becomes an action, is going to release a testimony, and a testimony, another way of looking at a testimony is it's a voice. When he began to call John the Baptist, John the Baptist began to testify of what was coming, and he had a voice to declare there was, and he was the one voice crying out in the wilderness, crying out in a dead and dry time, prepare ye the way because the King is coming. God wants to bring us all into the awareness of the purpose that He created in us. I want to run through six things here. Number one, it's about history. Your voice. Number two, it's about getting out of the box. Number three, it's okay. Four, you're qualified. Five, it's about purpose. Six, it's about bearing fruit. See, God gives us a voice to ultimately bear fruit. To ultimately bear fruit. A Okay, so back to number one. It's about history, right? History. His story in you. His story in you. History. When we look at history, it's God's story being relayed. It's His story being relayed. When we understand that there's a history, but we say He's releasing you to tell your story. He wants you to tell your story because, see, your story is going to affect somebody. And as you tell your story has a power and an effect. Your testimony is going to release somebody. Because He's looking for us to relay His story in us. He's looking for us to recognize that He's given us something that's one of the most effective weapons ever. A word of mouth testimony has a greater power than most anything else that we're going to use. When I am in a sales position, if I can get a word of mouth testimony to somebody, that sale is become far more likely. It's multiplied in its power versus any other media they're going to see. His story. His story in you. What He's already done for you will give some hope to another as to what He can do for them. What He's already done in your life already gives them a testimony and evidence that they can begin to believe for their life. History. His story. See, it's time for us to get out of the box. That was item number two. To get out of the box. Because, see, a lot of times we've limited ourselves, like Moses we were discussing earlier. We've limited ourselves by the things and the virtues and the things that have been that we've seen in the past. By our capacities that we've seen in the past. You know, some of us have had some capacities that weren't good. Some of us have had some capacities that led us down the wrong path. But it doesn't mean that those things are not without redemption. It means that what we want to do is be able to see God at work in it and release the story about God at work in it. It's time to get out of the box because most of us have had boxes that around our life and around our thinking that were not even, some of them were applied by our own actions and thoughts, but some of them have been things that we inherited from someone else. Someone else said this and thus, such and such about you, and now you've just believed it and started acting on it ever since. It's time for us to break out of the box. Just because somebody said you were shy when you're 3 years old doesn't mean we have to continue life being shy. You might have had a shy phase when you were 3 years old, but that doesn't mean you stay there. You know, and sometimes I marvel at Tina because she said the other day that you know, she's never had a problem talking. Okay, and we see the evidence of it. That's awesome. But see, the reality is for me to do what I do doesn't come naturally for me. It didn't come naturally. It wasn't something that I just innately did. It's something that I'm choosing to follow God in. I want to do this not because it satisfied something else. I want to do this because God is putting a message in me to convey to you so that we all are free. Because until we're all free, we can't really represent God. We want to have a relationship with the living God. He's put a testimony in me about this relationship that we can have. And that's what I want to relate to all of you. And how do we get there? Because if we understand how we can get there, we can make the change. So it wasn't like just talking in front of people. You know, if you'd have seen me in my eighth grade speech class, you'd have wondered, how did he ever get here? Because my eighth grade speech class looked a lot different than this day now. My eighth grade speech class, it was everything I could do to pry myself out of that desk and walk to the front. I thought I was being executed. And by the time I got done, they all thought they were executed. And somehow I managed to pass the class, but it was only because I applied more effort to it than a lot of people, but not because I enjoyed any of it. God has a story for you. And He wants to release that story through you. And in spite of yourself sometimes, He wants to release that story. We don't have to look at our limitation. We look at the God we serve. When we're looking and hearing the God we serve, all we have to do is begin relaying that we hear. When I'm up here in front of you, there will be a pause. Why? Because I was saying things, what I was hearing God say in my ear, and I'm saying it to you as fast as He's saying it to me. And when I'm done, and when He is done, I'm done, and I don't even know where we've been. So I got to figure out, what did I just say, so I can try to come up with something that might fit that. Because He's just releasing His story. And He wants somebody who will be a voice. And He'll do the same thing for you, because if He can do it with me, He can do it with you. If you'd seen the 8th grade speech class, you would know that for certain. Hallelujah. God has a story. He's releasing His story through you. So we need to get out of the box. You want to think about it. Think about it. This: how many people had the invitation to be an apostle? We have 12 apostles, but how many of them did He actually call or give an invitation to who didn't respond to the call? Did you ever think about that? There were hundreds of people following. There wasn't just 12 people following. I mean, He had a big posse. And when He had a big posse, He still had 12 people that were actually following Him all the time. But out of those 12, there's God said, I've got a voice. I'm going to release this voice through these 12. But how many other people said, you know what? I'm here, but I don't really want to be that voice. And didn't respond to the call. Maybe there were supposed to be 100 apostles. I don't know. Maybe it was always just supposed to be 12. And God was going, put all the rest of the posse around Him just to keep those 12 encouraged, to keep them going long enough till we could get to the end. But think what happened through those 12 voices. Those 12 voices changed the course of history. Those 12 voices changed the course of everything that was going to happen. They changed their religion and began to change the nature of religion from law to grace. And guess what? You get to get in on it. So we see these things happening throughout the history, and we have to understand He's creating a story, His story, in you, and now we get to release it. And we have to know that it's okay. That was point number 3. It's okay. There was a young lady, beautiful young lady that I dated briefly in high school. She was wonderful, and then later on, I don't know anything about what happens to her for 12 or 15 years, and Facebook comes out, and I see on it she became an artist. And one of the first pictures that she actually did was a picture of herself. But in this picture of herself, her mouth was sewn shut. In other words, she didn't feel she could express who she was. She didn't feel she could be a voice. That she was allowed to be a voice. And knowing her history, I know that that came from her relationships with her dad and with the person who became her husband. That they were both the same person who didn't allow for her to express who she was. But I want you to know, it's okay to be the voice. It's okay to be the voice that God has given you, to be the voice that God is releasing, because God has called you for such a time as to release the thing that He's put in you into this moment in this history. We don't have to be sewn up. We're not to be sewn up. I mean, when I saw that picture, I mean, it just made so much sense to me, because I knew something about her history and I knew a little bit about what was going on. I didn't know anything about the husband that she had had, but I could see and project. But God is not like that. God is not shutting us down. He's looking to cause us to come forth. He's looking to cause us to come and become aware of Him and step out with Him. But see, sometimes fear and trauma have caused us to feel that the only safe place is for us to just be quiet. Because we've seen so much trauma around us, and as a child, the only thing you could do was simply be quiet and hide, and maybe they'll go away. That's not the nature of Christ. That's not our new nature. See, when our new nature rises up, our new nature has a testimony. Our new nature is wanting to release a voice into this day and age. Our new nature is wanting to release who God has called us to be. Hallelujah. And see, then there's, you know, so we basically have two types of people. People who will never speak even when they should. Okay? And I know that that fits some of you. And this other one is the people who speak even when they shouldn't. And I'm not saying that that might fit some of you. But there are times when people are speaking. Why? Because they were repressed as a child. They weren't allowed to speak. And so now there's a spirit of rebellion that comes up and says, I have to be heard and I have to make my point and I have to do it. And they will sit and they will do it and they will speak to you until they get their point across or they feel they got their point across. But the deal is when we do that, we're not representing God. We're representing our pain. So what we have to understand is, and what I'm releasing is, is it my pain or is it my Christ? Because when we'll seek to speak those things that Christ is speaking in us, when we'll seek to release what Christ is in us and who He is to us and what He's done for us, then we release a testimony. We're releasing His story to the nation. We can't force someone to hear us. But we don't have to. See, when God is putting the message in your heart, you're only responsible for releasing it. Right, Tina? You have to release it. But you know what? The hearing of it is up to them. So I don't have to be... I can speak what God is saying and release it, and then I'm done. I'm not responsible for what you do with it once you've heard it. You have to take responsibility for yourself and say, hey, that's my word, I'm taking it. That's my testimony, I'm taking it. You know, when there was a day when Dusty Kemp over at Bread of Life, he got up and he began speaking of these symptoms, the symptoms which added up to ulcerative colitis, which was the thing that I had at that moment. And I heard those things that he's calling out. He didn't know what it was called. He was just calling out the symptoms of it. And I said, that's mine. And I went running to the front, and I got to the front, and after a while there was this herd of other people that came around me, and I'm like, what are they doing here? This is mine. I got mine. And guess what? I got healed. Something they said you have for a lifetime, I got healed. I can tell you, you don't have to have it for a lifetime. Why? Because I recognize this is my moment, this is my word, and I'm grabbing a hold of it. Why? Because I heard the voice. Now, if God can do that through that man, He can do it through you. Hallelujah. You need to know that you're qualified. All right? You're qualified. You know, some people will ask, well, how could He use me? Would He use me? Well, God, use anybody but me. But you know what? Guess what? Guess what? In 2 Kings 17, we see the king of Assyria. He begins to get word of the things that happened in Samaria. He gets word of what's going on in Samaria, and he basically, there's lions roaming out in the street. The forces of nature are just destroying his little possession over there in Samaria. And he says, what is going on? And they said, well, because the people are worshiping a god that's foreign to the land. See, Samaria is right smack dab in the middle of Israel. There's Israel on both the top, above it and below it. It's right smack in the middle. So it's all supposed to be the land of Israel. And so, but they're worshiping these other gods because that was what brought in. And they said, they don't know the God of the land, which is our Jehovah Jireh. They didn't know them. And they said, well, then all the people must be taught of the Lord. So he used one of the most ruthless men in history to begin speaking and insisting that all the people got taught of the Lord. And you know what? As soon as the people got taught of the Lord, all those things that were happening quit. Now, they still didn't take away the high places. They still didn't do the other things. But they at least began to be taught of God and began to reap the benefit of having heard the voice. But God used a man, one of the most ruthless men in history, to release the voice. Same with King Cyrus. He sent all the people home out of their captivity. King Cyrus was a man. He was called his anointed, and he released him. He released his voice through a man who did not know God. He will release his voice everywhere, but he'll release his voice specifically if you are willing to let it happen in you. He released his voice through Balaam's donkey. When Balaam wasn't paying attention to what he had already said, the Lord used the donkey to speak to Balaam and said, "Hey, this is stop. This is not the way the Lord told you to go. Why are you beating me? I'm only trying to keep you from getting in trouble. If he'll use a donkey, he can use me." Hallelujah. 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 See, it's about purpose. It's not about the number of words, but it's about our message. It's not about our message. Remember, those three little words. The message of faith changes history. Those three little words that came out of Daniel 3, "But if not." When the British were being surrounded by the Germans, they were on the beach, they had nowhere to go. And they said, we're going to stand for truth, we're going to stand for justice, we're going to stand and protect our country to the last man. We're hoping for rescue, but if not, is what they transmitted. And guess what? That "but if not" invoked a wave that delivered all the people off that beach that day. 3,000 people, almost 300,000 people got delivered off of those beaches before the Germans could wipe them out. By three words, "but if not." See, God gives you a voice. It's not about the number of words that we're speaking. It's about the power of Christ behind it. It's about the power of Christ that's in it. It's about what God is intending to do in the voice and in the moment. Hallelujah. You have a voice. You have a voice to tell his story. And it becomes history. See, it's not... Here, flip with me to Psalm 16. I want you to see this one. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, Proverbs 16. I wrote it down wrong. It's like I got there and it didn't work. Proverbs 16. There is no 23 in Psalms, so there's Proverbs 16, 23 says this. "See, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips." The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Let me say it again. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. See, your voice. See, a lot of times when you start reading things about the voice, or you hear something about the voice that God is given, or the voice that you're given, they want to make it about your gift, or they want to make it about your hurt, or your pain, or your past. No, it's not about those things. The voice that God has given you, the voice He's set in your heart, is the voice that comes out of your place in Him, out of the presence you have with Him. Moses, we discovered earlier, Moses was in the desert for 40 years. He was wandering around tending sheep for 40 years so that God could position him to have a voice that would release his word and his freedom. Paul was in the backside of the desert for 14 years. Why? So he could release a voice through him that would change the way Christianity was taught. So he could release the message of faith and the message of grace and begin to shape a brand new religion. 2,000 years later, we're still enjoying the benefit of what he did. We're seeing the benefit of what he did. 3,500 years, we're still seeing the benefit of what Moses said. We can say these things and see these things and recognize God gave these people an extraordinary voice. But guess what? He gave you an extraordinary voice too. The voice that you have may be the only voice that someone hears that changes their life. It may be the voice that gives them that moment of clarity, because out of the voice that he's given you, he's going to change their history. It's not so much what happens to us on this earth, but where are we going to be in eternity? When we give a voice to what God is putting in us, it's going to change somebody's eternal destiny. And even if only your only assignment is to work on one person until they get to that place, that person is going to be eternally grateful. And you've secured your place. It's not up to us to determine what we do with the voice. It's up to us just to respond to the call that he places in your heart. Hallelujah. It's about a purpose. See, it's not coming from our outrage. So much of the voices that you hear are just coming from somebody's outrage or somebody's pain. Those aren't the things that he was wanting to bring voice. What he wants to release in his voice is going to be truth. It's going to be hope. It's going to be things that will result in peace. It's going to be things that result in life. It's going to be the result and the sound that is going to be making them into an image of Christ. The gift of prophecy is a voice. But it's not the only way God is going to use you. I love prophetic evangelism because when God says, do this, and you go and do it, and then they pop up and go, what just happened here? One of my favorite ones was a man that I mentored under, and he was just going to the 7-Eleven, and he's walking by into the 7-Eleven. There's this group of bikers that are sitting over there. And then God just points out the biggest, toughest looking one of the bunch, and he says, I want you to go speak to him. And he's like, no. But he goes over there because he's obedient. And he goes over there to the Lord. As he starts walking, the Lord gives him a word. And he said, and as he gets to the man, he looked at him and said, your grandmother's in the hospital. And if you will repent for your actions and right now and begin to give your life to Christ, he's going to save her. The man got off his bike right then and knelt down and said the words of the prayer of salvation with him. And he did. Save the grandmother and bring her back in, because she was the only person he knew that loved him. The only person that he knew. God knew that. The only person that he had grown up with his grandmother and didn't even know his parents. But she loved him and he loved her. And he would do anything for her. God knew that. And you know what? As a result, all the other bikers, they got off their bikes and they all said the prayer too. Because he made sure. Hallelujah. See, amazing things can happen. You know, we're thinking about our flesh. We're thinking, oh, this is going to hurt because I'm going to get beat up. And God is thinking, I got a word for him that is going to change lives. In Luke 8:38, you see the story of the demoniac, right? And the demoniac is saved out of remarkable things. Because literally he's been bound up with chains and he can't get anywhere. And yet he breaks free of the chains because the demons are so fierce within him. He breaks free of chains and bondages. And no matter what they try to do to restrain this man, it doesn't work. And then he runs out into the desert and beats himself with stones. And that's the situation that Christ walks up on, and Christ just speaks into the demoniac's life and just releases truth and sends out all the demons, and they have to go away and they have to flee. And the man standing there sober and ready to roll. He's ready to join with Christ and begin to go with him and follow after him. And Christ says something different than what we would expect. Verse 38. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him. But he sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. He went out proclaiming, and we see that, and we see that as an isolated incident. But when you begin to read and study out the timeline, what you see is that the next time Jesus visited this city, because of the proclamations, because of the testimony that had been released, because God was releasing His story through this man, now then the next time He went in there, a huge revival broke out. Why? Because they were all positioned to believe God. Why? Because the most evil person that they knew was now saved, healed, and delivered, and complete and whole. And he was walking before them saying, "Jesus did this. Jesus did this." When we begin to release and proclaim what God has done, we set the people in a position to receive God's story for their life. See, God has given you a voice. He's given you a voice to release a testimony. He's giving you a voice to begin to recognize what God has already done and what He's about to do and where He is for everybody to see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait. This is something Tina said a little while back. You don't have to wait on everybody else to go with you. You know, sometimes your voice is going to come at a time when it's a contrast to what everybody else is saying around you. It's a contrast. Why? Because God has given you a voice to speak His truth. And His truth is not always the same as what everybody else is going to be saying around you. But you know what? You can't wait on them. When God puts it in your heart, it's time to move with it. It's time to release it. Because as you release it, you're releasing the testimony of Jesus. As you release the word that He's putting in your heart, you're releasing the promise, you're releasing the hope, you're releasing the very thing that will cause the change that He's speaking about. The word of the Lord won't just convict them, but it will also empower them to make the change. See, the Old Testament prophecy would bring conviction, but it didn't necessarily always bring. Because sometimes it didn't always bring the empowerment. Today's word, when the word of God is doing it, it will also release the grace to accomplish it. Hallelujah. In Psalm 5 and 3. You see David, and all throughout the psalm, you see David recognizing that the Lord hears him. And he says, "Thou wilt hear, and I will wait expectantly. I will wait expectantly, because I'm assured that you're hearing my voice. Because you gave me this voice, I'm assured that you're hearing it. And because you're hearing it, I'm waiting expectantly to see the deliverance that happens through it. The freedom that happens through it. I will wait expectantly. I will wait in expectation. Because why? Because you gave me a voice, Lord. And then it's only my part to deliver it. What happens after that is going to be up to you." Hallelujah. Telling your story. Let me give you a practical suggestion. It doesn't come from the Bible, but it comes just from a practical standpoint of practicality. Learn how to tell your story, because see, God is asking you to tell your story. Learn how you tell your story. Give a 30-second version of your story. Why? Because that perks somebody's ear. You don't have to spend it. You don't have to bend their ear for 2 hours. Learn how to say it in 30 seconds. condense it down. Condense it down. Because what you say in 30 seconds can be more powerful than what you say in an hour. If you can learn how to say it in 30 seconds, if you can convey the truth God has put in your heart in 30 seconds, now then you also can do a two-minute version. Why? Because once you got their attention, once you got them hooked, they're going to want to know more. And then you can give them a little bit more. But you don't have to try to dump everything you've ever learned about Christianity on them in the first interface. Because if you do that, more than likely, they're going to run away from you. And even if they can't physically separate you, they're going to isolate themselves in behind their little wall that they put up. 30 seconds, get their attention. 2 minutes, give them a little bit more and make them ask you. When they ask you, now you can dump on them for the next hour. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to just quote this scripture. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." The communion of the Holy Spirit being with you. See, our place with God and our place with His voice comes from the communion of the Holy Spirit. When you're speaking out of the communion of the Holy Spirit, when it's because of the Holy Spirit, what He's been speaking to you, that you're speaking out of, that releases something, that releases a voice into the earth that will change destinies. It will change purpose for people's lives. It will change and give hope where there was no hope. It will bring life where there was no life. It is those things that will begin to give Him a place through your testimony, because you're what? You're sharing His story. History is being changed. Hallelujah. As we honor Him, we're receiving from Him. As we're receiving from Him, we're equipping ourselves with the voice that He wants to release in this day. God bless you. We love you. See you in a few minutes.